Lassa virus, shown here by the red arrows, was first isolated in 1969 in Nigeria. Since that time, 33 cases of Lassa fever have been diagnosed in travelers arriving from West Africa, including 8 in the United States. Today I will discuss a retrospective analysis of these cases. Lassa virus is a single-stranded RNA virus that is a member of the Arenaviridae family. It is transmitted to humans from multi-mammate rats, which are endemic to West Africa. The prevalence of Lassa virus in these rats is approximately 20%. Rats are asymptomatically infected with Lassa virus, but intermittently shed it in their saliva, urine, and feces. Humans are at risk for acquiring Lassa when they come in contact with rats or their excrement. Rats, like venison, can also be a delicacy, and infection can be acquired in the process of butchering and cooking rats. The incubation period for Lassa fever ranges from 6 to 21 days. 80% of patients with Lassa may be asymptomatic entirely, but 20% of patients will go on to develop symptoms. Common symptoms include fever, retrosternal chest pain, exudative pharyngitis, headache, abdominal pain, vomiting, conjunctivitis, and mucosal bleeding. Additionally, hearing loss can also affect patients and can persist permanently even after recovery in up to one-third of survivors. Lassa may be transmitted from person to person. This typically occurs when a recipient's broken skin or mucous membranes come in contact with body fluids such as blood, saliva, urine, vomit, or semen from a person who was ill or passed away from Lassa fever, or with objects contaminated from an ill person. Lassa fever is not airborne. Since its discovery in 1969, Lassa fever has been found to be endemic throughout much of West Africa, including Nigeria, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, which experience cases year-round, but more during the dry season. Several hundred thousand human cases are estimated to occur each year, with approximately 5,000 annual deaths. As with many infectious diseases in the modern age, Lassa fever has traveled outside of West Africa. Due to its incubation period of up to 3 weeks, patients may be asymptomatic during the time of travel from West Africa. Since 1969, 33 cases of Lassa fever have been exported to countries outside of West Africa. 13 have presented to the United Kingdom, 8 to the United States, 5 to Germany, 2 to the Netherlands, and 1 each to Canada, Israel, Japan, South Africa, and Sweden. We searched PubMed from August 1st through December 11th, 2017 for publications with the terms Lassa and Lassa fever. We also identified additional publications through references and retrieved reports and official correspondence by epidemiologists involved in these cases. 80 publications were selected for review, which discussed aspects of 33 cases of Lassa fever in travelers from West Africa. We collected information on the time from patient presentation to the development of clinical suspicion of Lassa fever by their providers. The presence of distinctive clinical features of Lassa fever upon presentation, which were defined as fever and throat pain, plus or minus retrosternal chest pain, plus or minus proteinuria. Combined, these four features were found to have a positive predictive value of 81% for Lassa fever among one study of patients admitted to hospitals in Sierra Leone. Lastly, we collected the number of total and high-risk contacts that were traced during the ensuing investigations. High-risk contacts were defined as those who had unprotected contact with patients or their body fluids. Patient characteristics are seen here. The median age was 45 with a range of 18 to 72 years. 22 patients were male. Most patients were living or traveling in West Africa, and 11 were healthcare workers. 61% traveled during the dry season, when Lassa cases are more frequent in West Africa. 61%, or 20 patients, departed West Africa via commercial airliner, of whom 12 were ill at the time of travel. 10 patients were medically evacuated for their illness, of whom 6 had a known or suspected exposure to Lassa. In 79% of cases, the provider in the destination country was aware of the patient's travel history, but in a few cases, they were not. 52% of patients had fever and one or more distinctive clinical features. 36% of patients received antimalarials or antibiotics, and 12 patients received intravenous ribavirin, which can be used to treat Lassa fever. 58% of patients survived and 36% of patients died. As seen in this table, the time from patient presentation to the development of clinical suspicion for Lassa fever on the part of their treatment team was highly variable. For 24 cases for whom the diagnosis was made prospectively while they were in clinical care, the median time from patient presentation to clinical suspicion of Lassa fever was 5 days, with a range of 1 or same day to 22 days. For 6 cases, the diagnosis was made retrospectively after they were discharged from care or posthumously. Among this cohort, the median time from patient presentation to clinical suspicion of Lassa fever was 138 days, with a range of 14 to 450 days after presentation. 73% of patients were isolated during their hospital stay, and 24% were not. Of those isolated, 46% or 11 patients were immediately isolated, of whom 3 were isolated in a biocontainment unit. 54% or 13 patients were isolated at a later time point, of whom 11 were eventually transferred to a hospital with specialized infection control capacity. The overall time to isolation from hospital admission was 3 to 15 days. Contact tracing was performed for approximately half of these 33 cases. Among these, a total of 3,420 contacts were traced. The median number of contacts traced for each investigation was 157, with some as high as 552. The total number of high-risk contacts traced was substantially smaller. 139 high-risk contacts in total were traced across 17 investigations, with a median of 7 per investigation and a range of 0 to 33. Of the 3,420 total contacts traced, only 2 cases of secondary transmission occurred, both among high-risk contacts. The first case, in 2000, occurred in a physician performing a physical exam on the patient while obtaining IV access and blood samples without wearing personal protective equipment. Due to the high-risk nature of this exposure, the physician was started and completed oral ribavirin prophylaxis and remained asymptomatic. Subsequently, the physician serologically converted to Lassa virus. The second case occurred in a mortician handling the body of a deceased patient with Lassa fever who wore only gloves and no other protection. He became ill with fever and sore throat and was subsequently treated with IV ribavirin and oral favipiravir with improvement. There were several challenges faced by medical and public healthcare workers responding to cases of imported Lassa fever. First, a common challenge was the delay in the development of suspicion of Lassa fever as the patient's diagnosis. Among all cases, the median time was 5 days from clinical presentation to the development of clinical suspicion. Factors that contributed to this delay were, first, that successful consideration of the diagnosis required consideration of an illness associated with travel that is not at all seen outside of West Africa. Second, that travel to West Africa was not always known at the time of presentation. Third, the nonspecific nature of many clinical findings. And fourth, even fever and distinctive clinical features of Lassa fever were only present in slightly over half of patients. A second issue was the treatment of Lassa fever. Only 4 cases received IV ribavirin and 3 died prior to its delivery. Timely treatment rests upon the early consideration of diagnosis and can be initiated empirically before laboratory confirmation if the suspicion for Lassa fever is high enough or the illness is severe enough. Another challenge was infection control. In the 2 cases of secondary transmission, a lack of basic contact precautions contributed to disease transmission. On the other hand, many cases were admitted to high-level biosecurity containment facilities or negative pressure rooms with airborne precautions. While this action is not inappropriate, it is likely overkill, as standard contact and droplet precautions have been shown to suffice for prevention of secondary Lassa fever cases in the absence of aerosol-generating medical procedures. Lastly, a major challenge for each case was the burden of contact tracing investigations. Over 3,000 contacts were traced, of whom only 2 developed Lassa fever, and both of whom were high-risk contacts. Because of this, future contact tracing investigations should focus on investigating exclusively high-risk contacts to minimize the burden on public health systems and maximize the likelihood of successful secondary case identification. In conclusion, Lassa fever will likely be encountered by future providers in countries outside of West Africa. Keys to successful clinical and public health responses include prompt eliciting of a travel history, timely recognition of distinctive clinical symptoms of Lassa fever when they are present, earlier treatment of patients, and targeted public health responses focused on high-risk contacts. Thank you.